We're still trying to get in touch with Dan from the Media Research Center. We'll probably push that off till next week, but I have the other Dan still with me here in studio. Appreciate your willingness to stick around as long as you have, Mr. Speaker. It's nice to have that flexibility.
John, I think this may be the most I've ever been on your show at one time.
I know. Well, you're popular. What can I say? You're a popular guy. We love you.
Timing.
So I was looking again at your newsletter. And by the way, if folks want to, they can find it and subscribe to it at danhawkinskansas.com. And I got to say, Laura Kelly, by virtue of Waltz being elevated to the vice presidential candidate, Laura Kelly just got a promotion, I saw.
Yeah, she got a promotion, but I think it was kind of by default, or at least I would call it by default. I think she was the vice chair of the DGA, and of course Waltz leaves, and
that's the Democratic Governors Association,
right? And they move her up to the chair position, which I don't know that that makes a whole lot of difference. Maybe it'll keep her out of the state a little bit more, which won't be bad. Actually, the state would be better off if maybe she's on the road for the DGA.
Now, what I mean, basically, that's essentially just fundraising and rallying the troops, essentially, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're out there raising money for the different governors' races around the United States that involve Democrats. And, you know, we have a Republican Governors Association, works kind of the same way, I'm sure. So they're, you know, I would say for their members, it's probably an important thing, but. Does it really do anything for Kansas? Absolutely not. Does nothing for Kansas unless she talks them into giving a bunch of money to her middle of the road pack, which the middle of the road pack is really should be a misnomer because she's about as far left on the road as you can get. Matter of fact, we say she's in the left ditch. But she's got this middle of the road pack that she's brought to bear against all of us. The news was that there was going to be 2 million in that middle of the road pack, and
right, that's what you said.
We find out there's only about 900,000, which is a good thing. And then she spent a whole bunch on Vic Miller and Marcy Francisco, senator in Lawrence. She also spent some on a couple other folks, of course, running ads against Marvin Robinson, hopefully she spent a bunch so that she can't spend it against us. But she's going to really hit us hard in Johnson County. She's going to hit us hard here. Sandy Pickard, look out. There's going to be a lot of money coming from the governor's middle of the road pack.
The Kansas State Democrat Party, I mean, and partly because I think we've had some missteps at the state Republican Party, but definitely the state Democrat Party has been fairly successful turning Johnson County from, I mean, it was never red, but it was pink. It's I wouldn't call it blue, but it's certainly light shade of blue or you know, fairly purple now. I mean, you're up there a lot. I know my buddy Blake Carpenter's up there. All hell, he'll spend a month up there door knocking for candidates here later this fall. What do you think? Can we win that back? Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, we can, John. There's actually four races up there. And by the way, my good friend Blake Carpenter, the Speaker Pro Tem, has been on the road all weekend. He started out early Saturday morning.
I knew he would be.
Yeah, headed southeast Kansas. He's basically made a trip clear up through Johnson County, across the state, down to Great Bend, and then back in here tonight. And his job out there is just really meet the brand new folks, help them navigate the waters. Give them a point person that they can call and talk to and ask questions of. And so he's working his heart out. And that goes along with the Johnson County situation. So we've got four races up there that we really can win. Some of them, you know, Charlotte Esau.
Yep. I know Charlotte,
you know, Charlotte's, working and I think she's going to work really hard. We can get that back. It's got an older gentleman, his name's Dennis Miller, is a Democrat, and that won that seat last time. We want that one back. If you remember John Toppinger.
I do.
And Matt Bengesser was in that seat for a short amount of time.
Right.
We lost that one last time. We've got a phenomenal candidate in that one by the name of Lauren Bohai. We think that we can win that one. And then we have a guy by the name of Randy Ross, won the primary in that district. That's against Dan Osmond. He needs to go really, really bad. And then we've got a race against Nikki McDonnell, who's really kind of a Democrat activist. She, matter of fact, she had to wipe her Facebook clean when she won that precinct election because it was so bad. That is a guy by the name of Kurt Ruff that's running against her. So we've got four races up there that we think that we can win. Now, we've got some defending to do, too. You know, that's a tough area.
Oh, I know. And I know Laura Kelly would love to hang Chris Croft's head on her wall.
Oh, yeah. She's going to go after Chris. She'll go after Chris. She'll go after Carl Turner, Laura Williams, Adam Turk. She'll go after all of those.
Kelly Warren in the Senate.
Kelly Warren and Mike Thompson in the Senate. Those are those got big, huge bullseyes on their back. So we have to work hard, and we can. I mean, we get the money. We get the folks out. You know, the thing that we have to do is we have to build an army. And we have some folks that have done that. You know, our Mike Thompson in Bonner Springs, right. Representative Mike Thompson, literally won a seat that we've never had before. And how did he do it? He built an army of folks that are out there walking every day. And these people are volunteering. They're out there meeting people. He's got some that can't walk, so they call. He's got some that are really good at social media, so that's what they do. He has built an army.
That's what I try and tell people because, you know, all too often I think people think, well, I can't afford to donate, so I just, you know, but I'll vote. Yeah. But there's more that you can do if
Absolutely.
You can't, because not everybody can afford to write a check. But if you can't write a check, then make phone calls. If you don't, if you're not physically able to or don't want to, it's outside your comfort zone to go door knocking, even though it's great exercise.
Right.
You know, then knock doors or walk in a parade. The least you can do is put a yard sign out, if nothing Absolutely. Else, and talk to your neighbors.
You know, most people don't think about what's needed to really run an effective campaign. Most of our folks out here that vote, they're good about voting. They're troopers that go in and voting every time we have an election, but they don't realize what they could be doing to help their representative or their senator win.
The little things.
Yeah, the little things. Like, you know, we have systems now, I-360. Literally, they can, you know, whoever's running that system can give them phone numbers to call every day and people to talk to and ask them to vote for their candidate.
Yeah. Yeah, phone calls are very – so you don't have to go down to the party headquarters to do
no.
it.
No.
You could do it from home on your own phone, on your own time. It's got a script. I know. I've done – I've used I-360 to make calls. Even – you know, and I tell folks, even if it's as simple as putting out a yard sign.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because if nothing else, that shows your neighbors, your friends, the people that know you, and it might prompt a conversation.
Well, in getting yard signs in actual yards instead of the right-of-way.
Yeah, instead of right-of-way, yes, because people get annoyed by that.
They do. People truly get – I had an email the other day from one of my constituents says, when are you guys going to change that law? You know, people get tired of seeing the right-of-way signs.
Yeah.
So let's get out there and let's fill the yards full of signs.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't want them to change that law. But
No, I don't either. But it does kind of get a little –
it gets cluttering. Well, and I think there may have been – I heard that there were some of the judge candidates this last cycle that actually probably affected their campaigns negatively because there were too many yard signs thrown in right-of-ways.
There were a lot. In fact, because really we didn't have hardly any primaries here in Sedgwick County and Wichita, we really only had one judge primary, and then we had the county commission.
Right.
Those were really the only ones you saw.
And yeah.
Boy, we saw a lot of them.
Yeah, there were a ton of judge signs.
Yeah.
Dan, I appreciate you again especially for taking as long. I mean, heck, we've had you on now for 45 minutes, and I appreciate that. It's a blessing to have you.
I feel pretty special.
Well, we're special to have you. If, if folks want to connect with you, obviously, like I said, the newsletter, they can sign up for that. They can connect with you at danhawkinskansas.com. Oh, one other thing I wanted to ask you. I understand, doesn't the RHCC and the Senate counterpart, don't you guys have some events coming up this fall that they can help and support?
Yes, we do. They're just now getting those set up, so I don't have dates to be able to give you.
Will you send those to me, and I will make sure to put them on the Facebook the show's Facebook page and promote them for you online. They're fundraisers. It's a great way. If you don't know what House candidate to support, donate to the RHCC.
Absolutely.
And the RHCC, trust me, they'll put your money to the best use to support the candidates. needed most.
I would like to tell your listeners, if you really want to have a hard-hitting newsletter, a newsletter that will cut through all of the junk and just give you really what you need, the Majority Record is the place to be.
Yep.
All you got to do is go to my website, danhawkinskansas.com. At the bottom of the page is a subscribe area. Just need your name and your email address, and every Friday morning at 6 o'clock, you will get that, and you'll probably have a smile on your face.
I know. I love it. It's great for me. Brother, I appreciate you. Thank you again for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show, as always. And carry on the fight, my friend.
Thanks, John.
It's been a pleasure having Dan in the studio. It's really a blessing to have access to our Speaker of the House like that. And you know, we've been very fortunate down here in Wichita to have great representation at our local level as well. Me in particular, Dalton Glasscock has been a real stalwart champion for those of us who are fortunate enough to have him representing us. And frankly, I'm very pleased with Lily Wu. She too has been a great conservative mayor. And we're seeing it right now. I mean, just this week, the city is starting to look at more taxes, more spending, and really the only two that are vocally opposing it are Dalton and Lily Wu. And, you know, they've had months of committees and taxpayer funded consultants and you know, they come up with these cockamamie bait and switch plans to quote unquote lower property taxes. One of which is this asinine idea to raise sales taxes. But can we really trust that they'll actually do that, that they'll actually lower property taxes? And the sad part is we've seen this sales pitch before. And though I trust on the county side, I trust Ryan Beatty. He is a solid conservative. We know that Jim Howell has proven himself to be a solid conservative. And you know, I think when Stephanie Wise gets on there, she will be conservative. When Jeff Blubaugh gets on there, he will be conservative. But in the meantime, you know, you've got some commissioners that haven't always proven themselves to be conservative. David Dennis in particular has voted for every tax increase imaginable. And on the city council, it's the same thing. You know, I mean, heck, Brandon Johnson's already proposing raising the mills by 2 mills. All so they can keep spending. And that's the frustrating thing here. You know, they're now looking at maybe having to close parks, and which is fine if that's the thing you have to do to, you know, if you have to close a few parks to improve the others or whatever. I understand that. But really, no one is talking about the real solution here, and that is cutting spending. And look, I get it. We all want core services. We need to make sure that we're delivering the core services. But it's important to recognize that these types of tax increase proposals, they're not just abstract numbers. They impact real people, and in particular, the poor, low-income folks and those folks on fixed incomes. And these tax increases are a blatant signal that our elected officials have failed to do their one fundamental job, which is control their spending, and have instead chosen to, you know, go with the easy solution, which is raise taxes. You know, we hire you, we elect you to make the tough decisions. And right now, those tough decisions should include cutting spending. And if that means that the Sedgwick County Zoo, for example, might have to put off some expansions, maybe Exploration Place has to hold a bake sale or a car wash or put off some new projects because we're no longer funding them through property taxes, well, then so be it. But right now, I'd rather see those institutions fend for themselves than put retirees out of their homes. And I fear that if they pass this sales tax to lower property tax scheme, can we trust some of these elected officials to actually do it? And honestly, I don't think we can. I just don't think we can. John from Wichita, you're on the John Whitmer Show.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to know when your three times a day was going to start and what the hours were going
to
be.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to ask. Wow, you're giving me a chance to promote myself.
That's right.
That's even better. So, it's the Carry On Commentary. It's a 60-second feature that'll air at 9:30, 12:30, and 3:30. So during our prime shows, Glenn Beck, Dana Lash, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday. So three times a day, 5 days a week, and I will have new commentary every day. And it's a great feature that we're looking forward to starting here tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Tomorrow, right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I appreciate the call, John. Yeah, this is... It's something that we've been wanting to do. You may recall Bill O'Reilly used to do, Rush had his Rush Minutes that he would do a Rush Minute that he would kind of just a little riff that he would do. And that's sort of what we're doing here. It's just a daily commentary with some different topics that are going to be topical. If there's something going on, a breaking news story, something local, national, regional, I will probably hit that and try and bring you just a little bit of local political or topical subject matter that relates directly to our area. And it's just a way for us to kind of reach out and touch a little more often than once a week, which drives me crazy. I would love to be able to talk to you more than once a week. So, John, I'm looking forward to that. That starts again tomorrow. And likewise, for example, I guarantee you I will have one about this issue. And I'll probably have another one about the Wichita School District trying to raise their $450 or $450 million boondoggle tax increase as well. Speaking of tax increases, we're going to take a quick break, and then John Luth from Americans for Prosperity Kansas will be with us to talk about how Kansas Gas is asking the KCC for a huge rate increase and how this is really just a back-end tax increase for ratepayers. Kansas Gas is asking the KCC for a huge rate increase. Make no mistake, this is a back-end tax increase. Bidenomics is already making energy more expensive, but a public utility should not be trying to recoup their costs on the backs of ratepayers. A public utility should not be a monopoly and a for-profit business. With us now to discuss what this rate hike could mean for Kansas ratepayers and what, if anything, you can do about it is John Luth. He is the Deputy State Director for AFP Kansas. John, thank you for joining us this evening. Pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Hey, no, it's my pleasure, certainly. I always love the opportunity to come on here and join and talk to your great listeners, probably some of the best listeners in Kansas, if I'm being honest.
Okay, checks in the mail. So. Shallow flattery, the checks in the mail, my friend. I got to look at this, and when you think about it, energy prices, one of the biggest things that hit people in the pocketbook, especially hard, especially those on retirees, folks on fixed incomes, people in the poor, lower income brackets. And data still shows that Kansas, I think, has either the second or third highest energy rates in the region. And yet Kansas Gas wants yet another rate increase.
Absolutely. It's pretty crazy to me that we are an energy producing state who is paying through the nose for our own energy. Oftentimes to ship our own energy out of the state, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Right.
You said in the intro we were going to talk about what this rate increase could mean. I was running the math a little bit earlier preparing to come on, and I'll tell you in really easy quantifiable terms what it means. It means one less family meal if you want to go out to a restaurant, or likely one less family meal if you want to go to the grocery store these days.
Yeah.
It also means something like one less day of daycare for that single mother struggling to pay her bills out there. So this is real. This is impactful, besides the fact that it's also quite literally could drive some people out of house and home here.
Yeah, and when you've got to keep it in context. I mean, I know they say, well, it's only 10%. It's only a 10% increase, yada, yada, yada. But when you factor in everything else that has gone up, mortgages, price of gasoline, property taxes. I mean, in Sedgwick County, property taxes have up anywhere from an average of 12 to 24%. You factor it all in, it's like a death by a thousand cuts. And this is yet another cut. And I think one of the things that frustrates me, John, is Kansas Gas. It's a division of Tulsa-based One Gas. In 2023, their corporate net income was $231.2 million, up from $221 million in 2022. And I don't begrudge them from being profitable. Kudos to you. I'm all for corporations making bank. I mean, that's the American dream. But they're doing just fine. And I just seem to think, gosh, is this, you know, at what point do we have to say, is this absolutely necessary for you to stay in business, or is this just a way for you to, you know, nickel and dime folks?
Absolutely. You know, I'm glad they're doing just fine. I know that the everyday Kansan is not doing just
fine. Right.
But where we should really be focused, though, as much as it's easy to jump on something like a Kansas Gas Service or Evergy, you know, they're just doing what naturally I think anyone would probably do in their situation, where they've been appointed a monopoly by the government and they're protected from pretty much all recourse against them in that way. They're going to keep driving for that. Where we need to be frustrated, the most frustrated, is we have the KCC or CURB out there claiming to protect or speak for the voice of Kansans that think it's a win to say, hey, we're going to go from a $51 million increase to a $31 million increase. Be happy and say thank you. These are supposed to be representative of the people of Kansas. Sounds to me like they're representing themselves, their bureaucracy, and then their self-appointed monopolies.
Yeah, have they ever, I mean, this would be an interesting question. You may know the answer, but have they ever said no to any increase, or has it always just been incremental and they trim it, but they still give them an increase?
So I don't want to say ever, right?
Right.
But certainly in my lifetime here, I have not seen them say no to a single increase. There's always the same song and dance of a really big number that usually gets cut about in half, and they tell us to say, thank you, please, sir, may I have another?
Yes, yeah, it reminds me of Oliver. Please, sir, may I have some more? We're talking exactly. With John Luth from Americans for Prosperity Kansas. And that, you know, you make a good point there, John. It's they are supposed to be here for advocates for ratepayers. And frankly, if I'm Evergy or Kansas Gas, I know what the what their pattern is. So if I want $25 million, why don't I just go in and ask for $50 million, and then I'm going to get what I want in the end?
Exactly. Here's the other big problem with these groups that we just said are supposed to be representing Kansans. I don't know a single person that can tell me a single person on any of these boards. How is that representative of Kansas if nobody knows who you are, nobody's ever seen you, nobody even knows how to reach out to if they're frustrated? That's not representative government at all. That is, once again, red tape, bureaucracy, and some pretty good back scratching.
No, I agree completely. The KCC is holding public hearings on Tuesday. AFP Kansas has a petition online that folks can sign if they think the KCC should not allow the $58 million rate hike. If folks want to sign that petition, what's the best way for them to do that? I mean, obviously, if they want to drive to Topeka, they can give in-person testimony. But if they want to sign the petition, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to do that is to go on our social media. It's at AFP Kansas on Twitter and Instagram, and then Americans for Prosperity Kansas on Facebook. You'll find it right on there with a really brightly colored yellow graphic that literally says the word attention on it. So feel free to click on that. Let people know. You can also go to unleashenergyks.com. So we're trying to talk to Kansans and the KCC, frankly, about really unleashing the energy potential in Kansas and stop trying to just rack up rate hikes unnecessarily off the backs of hardworking Kansans.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, you guys do these National Days of Action. It's an opportunity for folks to get out. I think I've mentioned you know, the phone calling that you do every Thursday, but this is a door knocking opportunity. You guys do them every twice a month, basically. You've got another one coming up here in Wichita on the 17th. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. These are some of my favorite days. It's when you really get to feel the impact of what a true grassroots community can do. You're joining arms with neighbors and friends who are like-minded on issues, and we're going to be out this weekend, this Saturday, in the Wichita area as well as across the state, so feel free to reach out no matter where you are. Our goal is to bring it to your neighborhood, and let's have conversations about, well, this weekend we'll be chatting with Kansans across the state about who the meaningful and true policy champions running on the ballot this November and their local state Senate and House races are. And we're excited because there's quite a slate of true policy champions out there that come January, Kansas can have a new day with a bright, shining light on our Kansas legislature ready to lead the way.
You know, I'm glad that you guys do this, that you help, because as you know, we talked to the Speaker of the House earlier. He mentioned that there are key races that that Governor Kelly is targeting. Down here in Wichita, I know that one of those that you guys have been helping is Sandy Pickard and a few others, correct? Renee Erickson, you guys have helped out with her. Is that, that's kind of your focus right now, is to help these solid conservatives who've been fighting for us to make sure that they get reelected so they can keep doing that, right?
Absolutely. Our goal right now is to go out and have as many conversations as we possibly can with Kansans, to talk about these real policy champions, such as Sandy, who stood the line for her district more times than I can count on unnecessary spending increases and trying to fight to cut taxes, or so many other local legislators. You were talking right before I came on the show about all the wonderful representation you guys have, whether it's Speaker Hawkins nearby or the Senate President, Mr. Masterson, nearby. Yeah. A lot of wonderful, wonderful legislators here who are truly the tip of the spear, leading the way. We're excited to get out there and fight for those true policy champions and push back on the governor's quote-unquote middle-of-the-road pack, which the only middle-of-the-road that I think they're trying to put us all in is the middle-of-the-road, so it's a little easier for the vehicles not to have to swerve so much, because, my goodness, these candidates she's endorsing and driving are some of the most radical, radical voters in the legislature, radical left, that are just driving these top-down policies that are crushing us. Thanks to the Biden-Harris administration. Thanks to the Governor Kelly administration.
Yeah, I like
to. We can put a stop to that.
I like to think of it as she likes us in the middle of the road because it makes it easier for her to run us over. Your National Day of Action coming up on Saturday the 17th. Here in Wichita, it's the AFP office, which is at 435 South Broadway. If folks want to get involved, it goes on all day. My wife and I will be out door knocking with AFP on Saturday. If you want to get involved, obviously, AmericansForProsperity.org or through your socials, correct?
Absolutely. Or always feel free to shoot us an email at infoks@afphq.org. We're happy to chat with you there.
John, I appreciate you as always. Carry on the fight, brother.
Thank you so much, my friend. You have a great rest of your evening.
You too. Pat, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Country, 8 shots rang out towards my president. I'm furious about the 8 shots.
Oh, yeah.
Two were critically wounded behind that went past the president. Another was killed, a fireman. And the most telling testimony is the counter sniper, his whistleblower testimony. And I've listened to it and I've read it. And he said at least 5 Secret Service agents need to be retired or fired immediately, or this will happen again. The counter sniper that was there present on that day. And who owns the building? I did the research on and followed up on a reporter. And when you hear Mr. Putin refer to American Saxon, he's referring to British intelligence. He's referring to Council of Foreign Relations. And one of the subsidiaries of the Council of Foreign Relations, his last name is Rice. He owns that building there.
Oh, yeah. And the whole thing. I mean, I've heard some of the stories about that. That whole thing is, you know, it's just they clearly, well, for lack of a better term, they screwed up. And I, you know, you don't want to fear that it's intentional, because I'm not a tinfoil hat wearing guy, but there certainly were some major screw ups and incompetencies. I'm glad to see the director, Cheadle, resign. I think she should have been fired. I think had we had a president who was not mentally incompetent, she would have been fired. By the way, Pat, thank you for the call. I'm so glad that she is gone, but I don't think it needs to stop there. I think I'm agree with you, Pat. I think we need to have a few more heads roll over this thing. And, you know, we've had the opportunity. We remember when we talked with Dan, he talked about some of the changes. And frankly, one of the largest was voting out Dennis Pyle. We would have had significant tax reform had Dennis Pyle not sabotaged that. And to a smaller extent, Senator Olson and John Dahl helping him. But now that we've got those three all gone, that's a significant improvement. Dennis Pyle was the worst. Dennis Pyle's also, in my opinion, one of the main reasons that Laura Kelly won re-election. So having him gone is going to make a huge difference in Kansas politics. We just got to keep pressing on. But we also have to make sure that we're electing the right kinds of candidates. And that is so important. That's why we're doing fundraisers. That's why we get active. That's why we attend meetings, like, for example, the weekly Pachyderm Club lunches that every Friday at the Ninth Floor Club. That's a former petroleum club. I mean, you know, if you're not active, then you're not informed. I think part of the reason some of these candidates we had such low voter turnout this last primary was because some people, I don't know who these candidates are, right? Well, that's on you. If you don't know who they are, find out, educate yourself, but certainly get out and vote. I mean, I was really appalled at the terrible voter turnout on Tuesday. That's terrible, folks. That's bad. And we can't afford to have that happen in November or we will lose. We've got to make sure that we're motivated. We've got to make sure that we're turning out. That starts at the precinct level, which is why I'm glad the Sedgwick County Republican Party is having that monthly meeting on Thursday where we're going to motivate, train, and educate the new precinct people. And then we need to appoint more. If we have openings, we need to appoint those people. And I know Deb Lucia, the chair of the party, is working to do that. And, you know, we've just got to build that base. We have to have an army in place. And that's the key. And the army starts with you, listeners. Folks who just sit back. Well, don't stop sitting. Get up off your duffs. Do something. Make a phone call. Put out a yard sign. Donate. Write a check if you can. Walk in a parade. Even every little bit helps because we need to get activated. We're not that far away from the November elections. We're going to be people will be voting right after the Democrat National Convention. Advanced ballots will start going out in some states. That's how close this thing is. And trust me, the Democrats are gearing up. We on the Republican side of the aisle, on the right side of the aisle, need to be doing the exact same thing. Because if we don't, it'll come back to bite us in the posterior. Trust me. I've got all the information on these events on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. If you have questions, reach out. Listen for my Carry On commentary starting tomorrow. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.